Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride post-game show.
He's up to the near side at the 45, pushes by the wall. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Byron Pringle!
And the weekday home for Andy Reid, Mitch Holtis, Derek Johnson, and Patrick Mahomes.
Fires it to Edelman, who dropped it. Intercepted off of Edelman and picked by the Honey Badger! Pick six! Tyrann Mathieu, pick six!
Brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back. Just for the new year, hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. On your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Guns it long for the end zone! Wide open touchdown! Kansas City! It's a home run to Tyreek Hill!
Here's Jay Binkley.
And welcome, happy Saturday to you. It's weird having a Saturday game, but the Chiefs get the win 28-24 over the Denver Broncos. Vic Fangio, see you later. Although I wish they'd keep you in Denver so the Chiefs can keep beating you. Even though you make the games close, the Chiefs end up winning the games. Well, what a season for the Chiefs. What a collection of what they're doing on the football field. It's just impressive. Yeah, today's game would make you sweat. As Dick Vermeil used to say, football comes down to one or two plays. Came down to one play today. Melvin Ingram, the best trade deadline deal in the National Football League, forces a fumble. Nick Bolton, second-round pick, picks it up, goes 86 yards, longest fumble recovery in the NFL this season. Four straight years of 12 wins for the Kansas City Chiefs. I get it. They had the extra game this year, and it didn't matter to get that point. Mahomes is now 13-0 on the road in the division. Say what you want, but only one quarterback has done that in the NFL. Joe Montana had 20 straight. One. All the quarterbacks in the National Football League. Mahomes has done it. Hardman stepped up. His first ever 100-yard game in the NFL. You have to go back to September of 2018. He did it once in Georgia. Only his second career 100-yard game going back to college and with the Kansas City Chiefs. He had to step up. He had to be the guy for the Kansas City Chiefs today. Had to be the guy. Tyreek Hill had that heel injury, just played a limited amount of plays. But Hardman looked fast today, and he looked good. And that's the Hardman you had hoped and wanted to have. A guy that was catching the football, tucking the football away, and being explosive on the field. They needed those 103 yards today for Mecole Hardman. Steps up with that. Another Veach game. You know, credit to Brett Veach. We have these, quote, Veach games from time to time. How could you say this wasn't? I mean, the deciding play of the game came from a trade deadline deal by Brett Veach. It was returned by a touchdown by a second-round pick of Brett Veach. Great game for Brett Veach in the picks that he got for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Not even mentioning Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith that were in the game as well, but this was yet another Brett Veach game. Chiefs now and Mahomes. Mahomes, specifically, his first-ever career win in the NFL, came against the Denver Broncos. This was a team that had rattled off with seven straight wins against the Kansas City Chiefs, and now the Chiefs are 13 straight against them. It's embarrassing for them. It's embarrassing to get their hopes up and think they're going to beat the Chiefs only to lose yet again. They're a proud franchise. That's a proud fan base. But they keep losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's driving them crazy. And you know what? They're not going to beat them anytime soon. They give them a run. They'll give them a run. But they don't have the quarterback in place to win this division. I mean, they look up now at and Mahomes, Justin Herbert, hell, even looking up at Derek Carr, who still can make the playoffs. Mahomes' 50th win, tied for most at the beginning of his career. But for Andy Reid, 36-6 against this division since 2015. I mean, that is an unbelievable stretch. You know, I mentioned Patrick Mahomes being 13-0 on the road with the Kansas City Chiefs in the division to start his career. It's unbelievable. He's 21-3 against this division. It's just as a whole. I mean, he just doesn't lose games this division. This is what it comes down to, and this is what matters. How well do you play against your division? And that's what he's doing. It's not pretty. It's not pretty whatsoever how they're winning. Yeah, I would have liked a better game today rolling into the playoffs, kind of wash away what happened with the Cincinnati Bengals. Denver Broncos ran the ball extremely well today. Now, Drew Lock didn't pass the ball well today, 12 of 24 for 162 yards. But they ran for 191 yards as a team. That was the frustrating part about it. And you think, okay, a viable quarterback makes some of those completions, and they can give the Chiefs a run in this game. 100% agree. Chiefs did run for 135 today, but big but on that, it was Patrick Mahomes going for 54 yards rushing. He was great when everything was breaking down, running the football and getting the job done. Nick Bolton leads his team in tackles as he's the only player over 100 tackles with the Kansas City Chiefs, proving why he's deserved more and more playing time. But now it's the second season. Now what happens in these 17 games doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. And this was a weird game, man. This game had some swinging emotions. And I remember going back and forth with people on the text line or Twitter as far as how much this game mattered. Well, they were the one seed now. And if the Titans lose to the Texans, which they did back on November 21st, and again, it's the NFL, and we've seen so much weird crap with teams beating teams they had no business beating, but that's been the NFL in the year 2021. It's been about bad losses. You know, everybody's got a bad loss except for the Chiefs. Their losses were actually against good football teams. You know, they've been blown games to the Jags, or the Jets, or the Texans. They get 41 balled by the Texans a few weeks ago, like the Chargers did. And I get it. COVID problems with the Chargers. Well, I'll throw in there the Texans had more COVID problems than the Chargers did when they beat them, but yet they did. But it's going to be a race now, because you can look at five of the seven teams that are seeded in the AFC, and you can make a case at some point this season, each one of those teams was, quote, considered the team to beat. But again, all these teams do have a bad loss. I will say this. There are games that the Chiefs aren't playing a very good football team and don't look very good. Like the Giants, they barely won. Like the Broncos today, they barely won. Mahomes had his lowest quarterback rating of the year the first time they played the Broncos this year. But the bottom line is, they're winning those games. They're finding a way to win. And those are the teams that do well in the postseason that find a way to win going down the stretch. But everybody's got flaws. I call it the National Flawed League because everybody's got their issues. Everybody's got those games they wish they could take back. You know, the Buccaneers that were shut out at home by a under 500 Saints team a few weeks ago. A Buccaneers team that lost to a Washington football team a couple weeks ago. Hell, the Green Bay Packers lost 38-3 to the Saints in week one. I mean, everybody's got their flaws, but it's what you do. And you look at the Chiefs, and yes, they've given up some points the last couple of weeks, but the last 10, they've given up 16.1 points a game. Yeah, in the last two, it's been over that, but the last 10, it's been 16.1 points a game. 16.9 leads the NFL with the Patriots for a full body of work. Chiefs have been a different team since the addition of Melvin Ingram. But yeah, it's going to count on everything. Even Mahomes in the post game says, hey, we haven't played our best football yet. He said it this week as well in his press conference. Can they put things together? Well, now it's money time, and you'd have to think the team that's been there before, done it before, understand what's in front of them, can do it again. Again, two straight years of going to the Super Bowl. Year before that, went to the AFC title game. A D Ford offsides from going to the Super Bowl once again. But they've been there and they've done that and they have the experience going forward. Yeah, that number one seed will be huge. If the Texans can find a way to beat the Titans. Chiefs played more football than any team in the National Football League the last couple of weeks. But, you know, things caught up to them. The Chiefs were able to outrun and then it came crashing down with that loss to the Bengals last week. And all of a sudden, the Titans control their own destiny. It was the Chiefs, which is unbelievable considering those early losses they had, not controlling their own destiny. But they do. But this game is huge. There is a possibility, had the Chiefs lost today, they could have ended up the fourth seed. Then all of a sudden, you're having a home game, then you're talking about going on the road in the divisional round and on the road in the AFC title game, maybe even a place like Buffalo you go to. But now they don't have to because they get the number one seed. You just hope the Titans will lose in the divisional round if they keep the number one seed and the path to the Super Bowl goes to Arrowhead, which it could. 2019, this team was the number two seed in the AFC. And guess what they did that year? They have a Super Bowl ring and a banner that flies forever for being the number two seed. It's not the end-all be-all. I mean, hell, the Buccaneers went on the road every week in the playoffs last year and won. I'd rather play at Arrowhead Stadium, though. That 12th man with the fans. The fans getting involved, rattling the quarterback, giving them something they didn't have last year, making that noise. In the last 5 weeks at home, Chiefs have given up 8.8 points a game. Nobody has scored over 10 points a game the last five games the Chiefs had at home. Yeah, I'll give you as many games at Arrowhead as you possibly can. But now it doesn't matter what they did in the regular season. All the stats are thrown out the window. It's now about putting things together. You know, they go out there today against the Broncos team. Yeah, they had three starters not playing in their secondary. Ronald Darby, Patrick Surtain, and with Kareem Jackson as well, their safety. But then the Chiefs were, you know, finding a way to make Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle, you know, go-to guys. It was Jerick McKinnon, you know, that came off the IR last week coming in and giving this offense some splash. You might say, whoa, we haven't seen Jerick McKinnon in a while. But he's out there doing his job. All these guys are stepping up and doing their job. You know, even when it's not Kelce or Hill leading the way like they did in that Chargers game, when they combined for 10 catches apiece, 140 yards at least, and a touchdown apiece, which had never been done in the NFL by a wide receiver tight end duo. Didn't have that today. But they still found a way to win the game. And that's what this team's about, finding a way to win the game. And Andy Reid, just to mark a consistency, 12 wins now in four straight seasons. Never thought this day would happen in Kansas City. Never thought this day would happen at the end of the year when you look and see 12 wins. I mean, the Chiefs had those great teams in the 90s. It'd be great 13 wins one year and then down to seven or up to nine, then have another good year. But they've done it consistently each and every year. The Chiefs are where a lot of teams want to be. Yeah, they're still a marked team. They still hold that on the mantle. They're still the king of the hill. They're going to take the arrows, but they've proven they can take the arrows. And you know what? Second season begins right now for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm excited about it. Yeah, they looks like they might have a game next weekend, okay? So be it. It's probably going to be a nice primetime game, either Sunday afternoon or the Monday night game. But that's what Chiefs are. They're a draw. They're a draw nationally. This is what's going to happen for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, cross your fingers, the Texans can stand up and beat the Titans. Like I said, they did it 2 months ago, November 21st, right before Thanksgiving, they beat them. So who knows what can happen in the NFL. Weird things can happen. The Broncos probably shouldn't have given the Chiefs a game today. They have a lame duck head coach. Had to get their backup quarterback going today, Drew Lock, and they gave the Chiefs everything they wanted. They still have a good defense, but things happen wild in the NFL. But the bottom line is, when the chips are on the table, the Chiefs get the job done. This is the 124th time the Chiefs have met the Denver Broncos. Chiefs now hold a 69-54 advantage over the Denver Broncos in their history. And I think not only was this just a win, this is a win that creates doubt in the minds of a team in the division. A proud team like the Denver Broncos, it's been 8 Super Bowls, has 3 rings. Like, how are they going to beat the Chiefs? Like, how are they going to do it? You know, they get close, but you know what? Close isn't good enough. Close is not good enough in the National Football League. Close gets you in the unemployment line. Close gets you throwing darts at quarterbacks. That's what difference between close and winning the game is. Let's hear from you, though, at this point.
Let's go no huddle.
40, 35, 30, Cheetah in full speed, 10 to the 5-yard line. You play and press, the Cheetah will run you all the way around the earth.
Taking your calls now at 913-576-7610.
That's right, no huddle brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers, the Silverstein Eye Centers hotline, 913-576-7610, Jay Southland Tow Service text line open as always, 913-576-7610. Saturday night in Kansas City. We're not talking about Sunday. You don't have to work tomorrow. You're off. You can watch these games. It's a good time. Let's go to Showtime in Kansas City. What's up, Showtime?
Well, hey there, Bink.
Hi there, Showtime.
Well, I'll tell you what there, Bink. I got to give a special shout-out to my guys down there in the trenches, and especially my player of the game, Melvin, the freight train Ingram, causing havoc and creating a game-changing fumble. Woo! Where's Big T and Shawnee for a change, a choo-choo when you need them? And you know, in Kansas City, Bink, we always say, let's go Chiefs, but for one day only, I'm a huge Davis Mills fan tomorrow.
And that's let's right, the go neck. Chiefs. The neck.
Showtime Kansas City, I'm out.
Let's go, Showtime Kansas City. It's good. Yeah, the neck of Davis Mills. Hopefully that can provide a victory going forward. Dan and KCK. I know Dan's fired up. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good evening, Bink. How you doing? Yeah, the player tonight, Melvin Ingram, stripping Gordon, and Nick Bolton running 89 yards. And I couldn't have been more prouder, Bink, of Mecole Hardman stepping up with 103 yards. And Fangio not going for it on fourth down. That should seal his fate anyway. Well, what are your thoughts about that? Well, I was surprised he kicked the field goal. What are your thoughts on Fangio not going for it?
Well, you know what, Dan? It's a great thing. And you know what? The playoffs start next week. Maybe. Maybe. Unless those Texans can find a way to beat the Titans. You know, we'll be sitting around. It's like getting off the golf course. You're sitting in the clubhouse. You got a stogie. You got some bourbon. You're fired it up. You're ready for just mayhem to happen tomorrow in the National Football League. The Bengals, by the way, arrested everybody. Joe Burrow's going to rest. Looks like they're going to rest. I'm kind of curious what they're what their game plan would have been had the Chiefs lost, because the number one seed still would have been in play for them. Bad mistake to rest their players, in my opinion. You don't rest your players. I 100% agree with what the Chiefs did. I know some people didn't want to see this, but you know what? If you're scared, get a dog. It's what my friend Vern says all the time. Caleb in Olathe. What's up, Caleb?
Hey, yeah, great win by the Chiefs tonight. I just I have a little bit of concern regarding number 39. I think his name was like Zane Alexander.
Oh, Zane Anderson. Anderson. Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, because last week, if you remember, he cost them a kick return touchdown.
Yeah, he's cost them 14 points.
Yep, and then he just cost them today with the running into the punter.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I just hope we're not seeing, you know, Dan Sorensen 2.0 here.
Well, I hope not either. You know, DiCaprio Budo's on the practice squad and led the Chiefs in tackles a couple weeks ago. I'd make the decision, because here's the thing. This is big boy football now, man. There's no training wheels for a guy like Zane Anderson. I mean, you're costing a team that has all this going for him. You let the Byron Pringle touchdown came back because of him. That's 7 points. He elongated a drive from the Broncos where they scored. That's plus 14 in my book, plus 14 for the other team. That gets you on the bench because this team can't take that kind of stuff. Sorry, Zane Anderson, but this team is too good to let you run it.
Yep, I agree. Go Chiefs.
That's my opinion right there. Let's go to Preston in Overland Park. What's up, Preston?
Yeah, Zane Anderson running squarely into the punter, it was just a bad play. But Bengals took an all-time game from Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to beat them by a field goal, and that's supposed to be the biggest hurdle the Chiefs had to climb. I like our chances. Go Chiefs.
There you go. Saturday night in the big city. Had a few people, you know, text in or whatever. They get their beers, Kramer. They get their beers. It's Saturday night. They're chilling, man. They're in a good mood. They weren't earlier. Jeez, found a way. Melvin Ingram, Nick Bolton. All right, they were reason to go crack those beers open and relax. What a play. Football comes down to a few plays, man. In this case, maybe one play. They were down to the 9-yard line, the Broncos. Chiefs were having trouble stopping that team. And yet, here comes the fumble. I kept wondering, like, if Drew Locke was going to throw that pick, like when that magical thing was happening, like the Chiefs going 7 straight games, you know, creating multiple turnovers. I was wondering when that was going to happen because they're an opportunistic football team. They need those kind of plays. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T?
Hey, Bink. Nice night tonight. You're right. Everybody's partying, having some beers, checking the Chiefs out, having some good food, and just enjoying our time off. And now we've got that win, we're going to sit around and watch everybody beat the hell out of each other. Way to go, Pat Mahomes. You know, he made his plays, but, man, he's underrated on running that ball, Bink. I like how he runs that ball. He's got the moves. He's got the grit. He's tough, man. He's the best trigger man in the league. So Mecole Hardman, great game by you. And way to go. You know, the defense did step up. They made the play when they had to make the play. Brett Veach, I think, got the signing of the year at the end of the year, bringing in Ingram. He's outstanding. I like to sign him back. And Nick Thunderbolton running that back for the winning score and then the 2-point conversion. Let's sit around and let's watch all this, see what's happened. And be, you know, let's hear this Houston fight song. Can we hear that? And as always, let's go Chiefs. We're going to go to the playoffs, baby. We're going to go to the Super Bowl again.
Getting the Jay Seth on Tow Service points out the man-to-man coverage. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought the corners did not look great today. I thought they were situations as if Drew Locke would have fired the ball in place, they would have got it. You know, we're talking about that big 3rd and 27 last week. It was 3rd and 13 with what that 41-yard grab by Tim Patrick. And I was like, oh, man, not again. Where's the safety help? So I'm with you on that. I'm not 100% sold on the way that man-to-man went. Let's go to Chester. What's up, Chester?
Yeah, this is what it's all about when a rookie has the most tackles on the team. When the person that you bring in, Ingram, making impact plays when it's most needed. When the defense come up and they make the winning points to end the game. It's given to the area that endures to the end. Whether it's offense, defense, special team, it all adds up to next level up. You can go through the dynamics and the aerodynamics, and the plane can go off the ground. But when you get to the one, and you can be done, and excuses you have none, but you got to have the win to keep on winning. And the victory that goes thick and not thin. Next level up. This is what it's all about, the power of choice to enjoy the gift of enjoyment. That's a culture built upon contenders and championships. You don't look at the circumstances. You restore them and repair them and look for the crown. Shine up the crown, and you can hear somebody say, next level! God bless you.
What was that, Chester? I love it. Man, even Chester's excited, man. Chester's always excited, though. Chester's a good man. Let's go to Neil and Lone Jack. What's up, Neil?
Hey, brother. Not exactly how we drew it up today, but gosh darn it, they got it done. Now we just got to wait for tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Can't wait for the Mills magic, like a Fitz magic tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Melvin Ingram, what an incredible signing. Brett Veach deserves all the credit in the world.
Well, exactly. What happens tomorrow? We'll see if the Bills beat the Jets, which I do expect to happen, but you never know. Jets at the Bills, all right? Jets win. Patriots at the Dolphins. Keep this in mind. The Patriots have struggled, and Miami would say the Patriots do win. All right. Now the Chiefs are playing the seventh seed, which is the Colts, if the Titans end up winning. Now if the Chargers win, boom, it's the Chargers in Kansas City. If the Raiders win, boom, it's the Colts in Kansas City. So, who are you going for, the Colts? Who do you want to play, the Chiefs? The Colts or the Chargers? Give me the Colts instead of the Chargers. So, yes, you're going to be rooting for the Raiders maybe tomorrow night as well.
Give me the Colts over the Chargers too, for sure. But you know what? Bring them all on. It doesn't matter. We're ready to go. Williams rest up. Tyreek get some rest. All the boys get your rest quick and be ready to go next week, boys.
Well, that's all that matters. I'm excited about it, man. Latest regular season finish for the Chiefs. It's playoff time. There is nothing better, in my opinion. Listen, I like the college football playoffs, but only four of the 16 semifinals have been decided by 16 points or less. They're not exactly as entertaining. We have the national title game Monday. That's going to be fun, but there's nothing like the NFL playoffs. These teams are good. Look at the AFC. It's loaded, man. Like I said, it's loaded with teams that everybody said this is the team to beat. And I'm including one of those teams is the Titans that's going to, looks like Derrick Henry's not going to play this weekend, but they're going to get him back for the postseason. But, you know, the number one seed, you get quarterback questions. With Ryan Tannehill, there's a major question of what kind of viability is Derrick Henry going to bring back. And then the other team that you're not enamored with the quarterback in the AFC is Carson Wentz and the Colts, but obviously with Jonathan Taylor. They have a running game. They remind me of Titans in a lot of ways, teams that are just kind of led by their running back. But coming up next, though, we'll talk to Josh Klingler. He's sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs, plus the Masurese Jewelry play of the game next.
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Tune in Mondays at 7:30 for our weekly conversation with Derek Johnson on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. It's the play of the game.
At the 40, 45, Hardman in midfield, 45, 40, two blocks, 30, 25, jet fuel. The Jet is taken into the end zone. Corner pattern near side. Kelsey reaches up and makes the grab. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Brought to you by Masurese Jewelry. For four generations, bringing the world's most distinct jewelry to Kansas City.
Melvin Gordon III, the running back. Hands on his knees at the right hash. Lock is...
Now the ball's out. The ball is out and picked up by the Chiefs. Taking off is Melvin Ingram. They're chasing Ingram. He's at midfield. No, it's Dorian. It's Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton at the 20. 10, 5, touchdown. Kansas City on a defensive score. Melvin Ingram knocked the ball out from Melvin Gordon III. And it was picked up by Nick Bolton, the rookie linebacker.
Results of the play is a
and it will go
by the defense
as a 92-yard fumble return. Knocked out by Melvin Ingram from Melvin Gordon, picked up by Nick Bolton. And then he took off and outran everybody. The Chiefs get a defensive score to lead 26-21.
Made the biggest difference in the game. Football comes down to one play or two. Dick Vermeil, you say this so true. Melvin Ingram causes the fumble. Nick Bolton, man, never looked back. Even Drew Locke had made a comment, you know, after the game that even in Mizzou, couldn't beat him in sprints, couldn't beat him today in a sprint either. But Nick Bolton all the way to the end zone, the longest fumble return in the National Football League this season. Just the right play at the right time. Denver was driving. They were down to the 9-yard line. But what a play by Melvin Ingram. And that is our Mazeries Jewelry player of the game. Four generations bringing the world's most distinct jewelry to Kansas City. And oh, by the way, one of those silly numbers I track each and every week because I need a life is the Kansas City Chiefs on third down conversions. It's what makes this team so good. They were number one in the NFL, 51.8%. They were nails today on third down percent as well, as they were converting regularly, 52.2% on the season. Chiefs at 57.1% today. And James Palmer had put these stats out. Only the 2011 Saints were the last team to convert 50-plus percent on third downs for a full season. Okay? This goes for the Chiefs offense, 6.8 plays per drive. They have found a way to still get the ball in the end zone. No team has scored more on the first possession than the Kansas City Chiefs. 10 straight games of a touchdown in the first quarter. They continue that script on script. Joining us now from Empower Field at Mile High, the sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs. You hear him right here on 558 every morning on Fesco in the Morning, Josh Klingler. Kling, what's up, man?
Thank you. The only number we need is what is Melvin Ingram's contract number. That's really the only number we need right now, because let's just get that thing done and get that re-signed. What are we waiting around for, right?
You know what? Sometimes, you know, guys make a difference. Sometimes they don't. I was calling him the Terrell Suggs influence, not only what he did for what he is off the field. He's obviously a better, more productive player on the field than Terrell Suggs was, but he carried that other stuff with him. And there's been no better trade deadline deals. Kling, you know this stuff. I mean, every team has these visions of grandeur. Let's go sign this guy. Let's go sign that guy. Hey, this guy's been released. Should our team go grab this guy? Of all the guys moved to the trade deadline, he has got to be number one that Brett Veach went out and got.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope he thinks the same way, like, wow, this is almost new life. That'd be great, because he's got a lot left in the tank. You know, watching him from my perspective on the sidelines every week, I mean, he's a leader. He's engaged. He's firing people up. He's everything you want. And then I think most importantly, he can still play, right? I mean, you can have that influence and not be able to play. And so these are questions for a little bit further down the road, obviously, but we're getting closer and closer to that. You know, they're going to need help on the outside. I think this is probably it for Frank Clark. You can't possibly be bringing back that contract number. And so to alleviate yourself from needing two guys on the edge and really having to do some work, I'd go ahead and get it done with Melvin Ingram. He's been well worth it. I still think has a lot left in the tank, and comes up obviously with that huge play, and that's just a veteran move. And then Bolton, I'm guessing if Darrell Williams is still banged up and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming back, I mean, Nick Bolton can probably play in the backfield. That was a pretty good looking scoop and run. He looked very running back-like in the open field.
Well, there's been a couple games I've called the Brett Veach game. I called the Pittsburgh game the Brett Veach game because the undrafted guys, three of the four receivers were undrafted, led the team, two running backs undrafted, two leading tacklers undrafted. And this is the second Brett Veach game because of Bolton in the second round, of course, Creed in the second round as well, but the addition of Melvin Ingram. So this is the front office, you know, showing what they can do on the football field as well. So I know we look at offense, defense, and special teams, but a hat tip to the front office, because this team doesn't get a couple of wins without the front office.
Yeah, I mean, they needed every bit of it today. I mean, I wish this one would have been a walk in the park. It clearly was not. And they needed that burst of defense to get it done and get out of it. And now, I mean, if you weren't rooting for the Houston Texans before, do so now, because as I mentioned, with Darrell Williams being banged up and Tyreek Hill obviously is banged up, and I know he said Travis Kelce was fine, but anybody saw that kind of end of the game, him kind of getting up and looking like he needed to patch him back together. This suddenly looks like a team, especially on offense, that could use the extra week of rest. And so let's get the Texans and help and get that number one seed because this one took a little toll on them today.
You know what, Kling? I just want to see from your perspective just how fast Mecole Hardman looked on the field, because to me, He just looked different. We've always wanted him to step up in that role when given the opportunity. He had 100 yards today, his first time over 100 yards in the NFL. I went back and looked at his college at Georgia. He only did it one time at Georgia. Back in September of 2018, he went for 103 yards. So it's not something he usually does. I mean, when you think about receivers kind of taking over a game, he's a big play guy, but he hadn't been over 100 yards except one other time. But he looked fast today. I don't know what you saw on the field, but I know you're used to seeing Tyreek Hill streaking by and looking fast. Mecole Hardman looked faster today than I've ever seen him.
Yeah, he was good. Now you got to figure out a way, can he do that in the complimentary stages? Because we've seen him, you know, he mentioned it today, you know, kind of stepping up in the absence of Tyreek Hill. Well, we wanted to be good alongside Tyreek Hill. So
exactly.
I think that's kind of the next challenge that, you know, it was great that you took on an added role when you had to today, but when you're back in your normal role, can you continue to produce? There's nothing to say that you have to have Tyreek Hill out for you to do that in a particular game. So I think that's kind of the next challenge. And, you know, thank goodness for him today. Like I said, they were looking for some answers on offense today. It wasn't completely pretty. And, you know, you'd love a cleaner game with probably a little more feel-good coming out of it heading into the postseason than we did get today. Because, yeah, this one was nerve-wracking throughout. You go and look at next week, and whoever it is, you know they're going to be a lot better than today's opponent.
How did Kelce look coming off the field? I know in the post game, Andy Reid was talking about, you know, the toe of Darrell Williams, the heel of Tyreek Hill. We saw Kelce hobbling a little bit, and, you know, going off the field looked like so too. What'd you see from him going off the field? Because Andy Reid didn't seem too concerned.
No, he didn't, and you wonder if maybe he didn't see it. I don't know, but yeah, because we were all thinking the same thing. Like, wow, he took some shots again today. And whether or not it's a cumulative effect rather than anything specific of today, you know what I mean? But, I mean, he's the guy that takes a beating each and every week. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, he looked like a guy that could, like I was saying, could use a week off. It'd be nice to be able to get a break for him specifically because he looks like he needs it. So, no time to rest. I'm sure he'll be out there next week and everything will be fine. But, you know, Kelce's tough. So, at least that's the good part of that. That's probably why you said he's fine. Why talk yourself into something else? Just say, Kelce will be fine, and patch him up and let's go.
You know, what a swing of emotions, Kling. You think about this game and the way it's going. You know, had the Chiefs dropped this game, all of a sudden you're looking at possibilities. They could end up as a third seed. They could have even slid to the fourth seed, depending on what happens tomorrow. That's how big this was. And I know some people are like, yeah, who cares? They still got to win those games, which is true. You got to win them. But at Arrowhead Stadium, the last five games, they're giving up less than 10 points a game. Playing at Arrowhead, that's big, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I want to put myself in the best position possible, right?
Me too.
There was no need to screw around with, you know, yes, you could win coming out of any spot in the seating, but put yourself, you know, you kind of gave away at least the driver's seat for one last week. You wouldn't want to give away the driver's seat for number two and a shot at number one by losing today. And so, yeah, it was really about getting the win today. Yes, you love more style points, for sure. But, you know, the fact is you've wrapped up at least the two, and that was the goal of today.
Kling, I was sitting in with you earlier this week on Fesco in the Morning. You and I were discussing, and I said, you know, we were talking about how that, you know, one of their columnists had encouraged people not to go to the game, you know, to send that message to the Broncos front office, not that it really mattered. But I told you I would have loved to have seen the Chiefs do the incomplete thing, like take that over. Man, right. Did that stuff ring through the mics, man. The incomplete, the horse's voice. I mean, the annoyance was still there for the Denver Broncos. It really was.
Yeah, and they didn't, you know, they didn't boycott at all. I mean, there were obviously more empty seats than we've seen in a Chiefs-Broncos matchup in quite a long time. I mean, this is usually a place that's an absolutely difficult atmosphere. But there was a lot of red in amidst the orange. There was a pretty good mix of that. So a lot of Chiefs fans attended it. Bought tickets or did what have you. So I don't think there was any kind of boycott and holdout. This looked like a typical what's been typical for them because they've had quite a few no-shows, you know, the last few home games. But you know, they were loud, you know, late in the game when the game was kind of on the line for sure. And so I think they stayed at the end, even, you know, when the Broncos were out of timeouts, so the Chiefs got a first down and you knew they were going to deal down. I figured everybody's coiling away for the exits, but they say they'll be until the final whistle. So I guess they're probably trying to figure out exactly what's next. But, yeah, there wasn't – if they were trying to have a boycott today, that failed.
Now it's up to the clown out tomorrow right in Jacksonville.
onto the clown out. I can't wait to see that. I hope that one does turn out big. I want to see as many as possible, although I am kind of curious. We may have to go to social media to see it. I'd be really, really surprised if TV showed it much yesterday or tomorrow in that game. I'm guessing we'll probably have to see the on-site social media pics and videos that people post, because I'm guessing the network won't want to show that kind of embarrassing scene if there is one. But I'm rooting for it. I like to see clowns in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Why not? I mean, I'm not a fan of clowns, but at least I'm in Kansas City, and that's in Jacksonville. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep them away from me.
They're far away in the distance on TV.
And final thing for you, Kling. Josh joining us on the Silverstein Eye Center hotline. Hey, Kling, did you sense anything from the Denver fans? Like, you know, they were getting so excited. We're going to end this 12-game streak against the Chiefs. I know it's a proud organization. They had won 7 straight against the Chiefs before the streak started. Obviously, Peyton Manning, a big part of that. But was there any kind of, oh, my God, not the Chiefs again? Because it looked like, I mean, you're seeing the fans and the upset, how upset that they got. And I was just curious if you could really kind of feel that deflation from them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely could. And it came on the Bolton play. I mean, when Drew Lock ran in 2 touchdown runs, I mean, this place was rocking. They were in it. And then, yeah, then driving and then have it ripped away like that, I think, really kind of, you felt the air go out of the balloon once again. We've had a few of those moments here in Denver, especially as of in the recent run where you're able to kind of zap all the energy from the stadium, and it happened again today.
Well, Kling, safe travels back. I know that last week was very interesting from Cincinnati, so hopefully this is a little bit more smooth for you.
That's right. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. No canceled flights.
Fingers crossed. All right, Kling, thanks a lot, my friend.
All right, later.
There you go. Josh Kling there joining us on the Silverstein Eye Center's hotline. Kling, of course, he's sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs. And as Mitch Holtis said a few minutes ago when he was closing things out from Denver, the Chiefs Kingdom show tomorrow night. He'll have the broadcast crew in with him, Dan Israel, Dana Hughes, Josh Klingler, to kind of wrap this thing up as we look forward to the postseason. And by Monday night, we'll know everything. We'll know everything going on, who the Chiefs' next opponent is. Then we could dive into it, Cream Dog. We could talk to the visiting the city, find out what's going on, find out about the matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is fun time, man. This is something we've come to expect. These Broncos have not been back to the postseason. I mean, their last postseason victory was at Super Bowl back in 2015, the Blood in the 16. They haven't been back. But this is something the Chiefs are accustomed to. You know, I know that with the new rules in the NFL, with that number one seed, that coveted number one seed you want to get to, and we'll find out how important it is. I mean, right now we have no real sample size. We have 1 year of sample size. The Chiefs had the first round bye. They got the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers did not. They had to go on the road 3 straight times. They won the Super Bowl. So it's 50-50 at this point how much that first round bye what means. But I will say this. For the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought it was important. I mean, Andy Reid's 26-6 after the bye week, postseason, regular season. You know, he's 20-3 in the regular season after the bye week. He does wonders after the bye week. That's one thing. And then two, just the players getting a little bit more rest. Just going in 100% healthy for what it provides you. Be able to sit back and watch all those games. But it's going to have to be different. They're going to have to go on that run. But again, the experience can help the Kansas City Chiefs. But, man, are we not getting accustomed to, you know, making those runs? I mean, I feel sometimes spoiled, you know, living in Kansas City with the way this team is playing at this point. Because it's not always been this way. You guys know that. You know, I was born in 73. We went all the way, to 1994 to play in an AFC title game with Joe Montana against the Buffalo Bills. And then, look, it's gone through Kansas City the last 3 years. Could go through Kansas City again this year. It's unbelievable. But it is the second season, and anything that happened in the regular season, it doesn't matter. But as I said, when you look at the top seeds in the AFC right now, like as we sit right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are still a number one seed. Titans are number 2. Bills are 3. Cincinnati's 4. This way I think it's going to work out. The Patriots 5. Raiders, depends on the Raiders-Chargers game. The Chargers could be the 7th seed. The Raiders with the win could be the 6th seed. But again, outside the Raiders, no one really talked about them this year and said that's the team to beat. But they did say it about the Titans. Once they beat the Bills and Chiefs in back-to-back weeks, it became, look at the Titans. And even a team that's not even in the playoff picture, I guess, still has an outside chance, a very slim chance, is the Ravens. But once they beat the Chiefs, it's like, oh, man, and they nailed the number one seed for a while. That's a team to beat. And there's a lot of people that really like the Bengals and what they've been provided. Is that the team to beat? Because I've heard people say that. The Patriots, for sure, they're not saying it now about the Patriots, but, you know, before these last 2 weeks, they were talking about the New England Patriots being that tough team in the AFC, that tough team to beat. And then you get the Colts and the Raiders that I think could do some damage. I think the Colts can do more damage than anybody else as a team. Depends on Carson Wentz. The team depends on Carson Wentz. We know how good Jonathan Taylor is, but can Carson Wentz be the answer for that Colts team? I think it's a very good team that, you know, when Andrew Luck walked away, it hurt that team. I mean, he was comeback player of the year, took the team to postseason, walks away in the preseason, and they've been trying to find magic since, despite having a great offensive line, good skill position players. They were number one in the NFL last year in explosive plays, good defense. But, they got the most they could out of Phillip Rivers last year. Lost in the playoffs to Buffalo. Phillip Rivers is coaching high school football now. They make a deal for Carson Wentz. He plays 75% of the snaps. Eagles have three first-round picks coming up this season. They're in the playoffs in the NFC. And I know a lot was brought up about the Chiefs, you know, having a 1-4 record against the AFC playoff teams this year. However, big however, if the Raiders end up getting the postseason, which they very easily could, Chiefs have two more wins than them. So now that 1-4 becomes different because then you have to add the two wins they have against the Raiders. And by the way, the Chiefs are 3-0 against NFC playoff teams. They beat the Packers. They're currently the one seed. I get it. They didn't have Aaron Rodgers. They had Jordan Love. That Dak Prescott-led Cowboys. Chiefs beat them. And the Chiefs beat the Eagles. You know, that was the game when the Chiefs beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. And everybody's like, well, it's just the Eagles. Just the Eagles that are in the playoffs at this point. So, again, it depends on how you look at things. But I don't really care about those records. Because the 2019 Chiefs lost to the Texans in the regular season. Then what happened? They spotted them 24 points in the postseason and still beat them. That same year, they lost to the Titans. It's kind of the low point for the Chiefs in 2019 regular season. They lost to them. Then what happened? They had a double-digit lead against the Chiefs in the playoffs, lost the game. So it doesn't matter. Second season does not matter what happened in the first season. It's all about how healthy you are, the coaching scheme you have against very good football teams that are in the AFC, because this is a jumbled mess. This is a tough deal to get to the Super Bowl now for the Chiefs. But they're right up there as a team to beat because they have Patrick Mahomes. And they have what he's been doing on the football field, and it's been fun to watch. You want to call in, you can, 913-576-7610. I'll take your calls throughout the program. But we'll talk to Pete Sweeney coming up in the next segment, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, and we'll do Touchdown Kansas City by Mitch Holthus. But time now to head inside that locker room. Let's hear from Andy Reid, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Andy Reid.
All right. As far as the injuries go, Tyreek Hill had a sore heel, and so we held him out for most of the game, although he jumped in and played a little bit. And then Darrell Williams had a great toe that was bothering him there, his big toe. And other than that, I think we're okay. My hat goes off to Vic and the Broncos for the game that they played. I thought they played with great emotion and effort, and I was glad that we came out on the right end for us. But Vic does a heck of a job, and I respect the heck out of him as far as his football team. They're tough. Ingram, I thought, really, his two big hits, I thought, were big, and the push he was getting off the edge, I thought, was important for us. And none bigger than the last one, where we were able to pick it up and score. So that was a great job by both those guys. And then offensively, McKinnon stepping in for Darrell, McCole stepping in for 10. I just thought that both those two had big nights. I mean, McCole was over 100 yards, eight receptions, somewhere in that area. Pat did a nice job on third down. I love the way our defense buckled down and just they pared down and did a nice job. I think the leadership on the defense, starting with Spags and with the players and the assistant coaches, I just thought it was tremendous. EB and Mike Kafka, they both had calls in there that were tremendous and much appreciated. And all the assistant coaches on the offensive side. And then special teams, likewise. We had a couple of hiccups there, but powered through that too. So all in all, a good win, an important win for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and then we will see what we have. I guess by tomorrow night, we'll have an idea of who we're playing and the times and all that. But we sure look forward to bringing a playoff game back into Arrowhead and with our fans. So with that, time's yours.
Hey, Andy, what was it about tonight's game other than opportunity with Tyreek not playing a lot that allowed Mecole Hardman to have a big game?
Well, we were able to get the ball in his hands quick, and you saw him just explode. I mean, he was playing fast and very fast. So he was explosive. We've seen that in other games too, but he really had opportunities to get it quickly and to hit it.
Travis Kelce looked like he got banged up on that last play there when he caught that first down. He's okay?
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah.
Hey, Andy, at what point did you know that Tyreek wasn't going to be in his full capacity? And then secondly, a lot of the plays that Mecole had were behind the line of scrimmage catches. Were those plays that you inputted this week intended to be for Tyreek Hill, and then Mecole had to step into that role, or were those plays already intended for Mecole?
A couple were and some weren't. Probably the majority weren't, but were not for 10. So, and I knew about him before the game. He tweaked it during the warmups, his heel. He's had that before, so he just landed on it funny, and he told me that he was hurting. So,
Coach, just when it comes to Jerick McKinnon, what does it say about him that he spent some time in IR and really after the Williams injury kind of became a plug and play and was able to just have such a productive game and stay within there?
Yeah, Pete. So he was a quarterback. I mean, a legitimate quarterback in college. And so he understands that whole concept of team. He gets that leadership, and that's kind of the way he handles himself. I mean, he never complains about anything. He goes 100 miles an hour and does it to the best of his ability. And as a coach, I mean, that's all you can ask for. But he, it was just a matter of him staying healthy. He had a couple setbacks backs there, so getting healthy and being healthy, you got to see what he did there.
Andy, I have two questions for you. Just when you guys won the first matchup against the Broncos, I believe Mecole was only targeted one time for one reception. I just wonder between then and now, just what you've seen from Mecole, maybe behind the scenes that may have helped him for this opportunity tonight. And just what impresses you most about Nick Bolton with his first regular season concluding today?
Yeah, well, listen, I'll start with Nick because that was a game changer. I was hoping that he wouldn't stumble, right? So those guys don't get a chance to run that far that fast very often. And he ran like a stallion. I mean, he took off and looked like a running back there. So I was happy for him. He's had a pretty good rookie year, I'd say, and having 17 games that you play in, that's not the easiest thing to do as a rookie, but he's taking advantage of it. I think it's great to have Hitch there to kind of learn from, and he's taking advantage of that too. So, and then I've gone on too long, so I don't remember what the first question was. Mecole. Yeah. So Mecole, the one thing Mecole's done is all season he's tried to get better. And so he got to see it tonight. I mean, we've been seeing the progress as we've gone on, and we were able to showcase what they did defensively today.
Hey, Coach, kind of following up on Nate's question there about Nick. He's another one of the guys that obviously doesn't look like he's hit much of a rookie wall at all. What is it? Do you feel like that's allowed him to be so successful? I mean, leading the team in tackles, even though he hasn't been a starter all season.
Yeah, well, he did the same thing at Missouri where he led the conference in tackles. He's a good tackler. He's a humble kid, so he knows what he doesn't know, and he's willing to work on it. And there's something to be said about that. So he's continued to do that throughout the season, and I would imagine he'll do it throughout his career. I mean, that's something that you need to keep as you go forward. It's a great tool to have, a mental tool to have, but it's even better when you had the success he has to continue to do that and keep working your game.
There you go, Andy Reid, after the win today, 28-24 over the Denver Broncos. Andy Reid now 36-6 against this division since 2015. We're going to take a timeout. We come back. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com, on his thoughts about this game and the playoffs going forward. Who does he want to see next?
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Tune in Mondays at 2:15 for our weekly conversation with Patrick Mahomes on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Here's Jay Binkley.
And welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. By the way, Vic Fangio, this is why he's not a head coach, because he never believes in his quarterback. Just one more shot at Drew Lock before he goes.
Well, I mean, those other three teams have top shelf quarterbacks, okay, which is obvious to everybody. We just need to get a little bit better.
Derek Carr, Mahomes, Herbert, top shelf quarterbacks. He doesn't have one. He's never had Drew Lock's back. This goes back to the Hall of Fame game a couple years ago. Drew's first start in a preseason for him. Never had his back. So good luck to you, Vic. He's going to get a job because he's a great defensive mind, obviously. But, he'll have a job in the NFL. But coming up now is the editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com, a man that keeps me sane at times, Pete Sweeney. Hello, Pete.
How's it going, Jay?
It's going well, Pete. So the injury report, as far as after the game, it was Tyreek Hill with that hill, did play sparingly, so he did get in there. The Chiefs like to use him near the goal line there, you know, to do things so he's not running as far. And then the toe of Darrell Williams. Then there was the limp off the field by Travis Kelce, but that part was not dropped up. Your concern level?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be less concerned if the Houston Texans can figure this out tomorrow and find a way to beat the Tennessee Titans. The Chiefs, you know, I hate to keep going back to the Bengals game because, you know, they were able to figure it out and win this game, but they needed that bye week, and I think it would have really put the pressure on the Titans. And it's nice that it's still possible, but it does seem like your two top skill position players are going to be at least a little bit banged up. You know, it is a week's time. You wonder what day the Chiefs get because of the importance of the players that are banged up right now. If you don't get the bye, I think you almost hope that it is Monday to just give another day of rest to these guys because they're going to be so important in you continuing to keep this season going.
No question, Pete. Today we've talked about it before. You know, just when you were there, the Chiefs, you had that extra game this year that didn't make things any better for them. They've been the two straight Super Bowls, AFC title game. Like, no team in the NFL has played more football than the core of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why, you know, I looked at that Bengals game and thinking, like, of all the teams, like, I know the Titans need one to get fresh, but, man, with Andy Reid's record after a bye and the fact they've played more football than anything else, because I've seen this with other teams and other leagues and other sports where fatigue starts bothering you when you get to the postseason.
No, I know, and I think that's what is, you know, really concerning is just this is a team that is interesting. I mean, once you start the playoffs, everything resets, and I think the Chiefs, in a sense, could find themselves so long as they're healthy. And I think that's the biggest question mark now going into it, and we'll have to keep an eye on the injury reports. Just not good having Tyreek Hill's injury come today, and as you're really zooming into Hill as he was playing this game, you could see that he was impacted on some of the plays, kind of hobbling around. He fought through what looked to be some pain there and was able to make a big fourth down play, but you could tell that he was certainly bothered by that issue with his heel.
You know what, Pete, one guy that really stood up today, and you know, you think about all the times throughout the season, even going back to the preseason game against the Cardinals, without Tyreek Hill, he was going to need to step up. Could he step up? That question's been asked about Mecole Hardman the last couple of years. He did have his first 100-yard day in the NFL. He has one other in his career. He had one 100-yard game back at Georgia back in September of 2018. It's not something he does on a regular basis, too, since Georgia and Kansas City. But I've never seen him look this good. How fresh he looked getting out of the backfield, the things he was doing with here. I know the Deebo Samuel thing comes up a lot, even though Debo's a lot better running back, I think, than he is, and a bigger guy than Mecole Hardman is. But, like, they needed him today. Like, of all the times to step up, because he's been asked to step up and not having Tyreek Hill, I just wish that he would do this with Tyreek Hill on the field.
Yeah, it's strange when you think about it. It's almost like Tyreek Hill had to be off the field for him to get some of these opportunities, and maybe it's a case of putting him in that DeMarcus Robinson spot and just seeing what happens, you know, as opposed to some of these plays that were orchestrated for him. Andy Reid, as you I'm sure heard after the game, said some of the plays were him just filling in for Tyreek Hill, but others were just them working with Hardman. And I think he's going to be an important player suddenly for the Chiefs, and it's definitely somebody that we wrote off. But now that teams are really taking Travis Kelce out of the equation, and on the day that you don't have Hill and then suddenly Kelce's out, you got to play in that short area in those flats and use the screen game like they were with both Hardman and Jerick McKinnon. And I think you got to punish teams in that area to open up some of the things downfield. And today was a perfect example of that. It's a tough go right now because the Chiefs had this really exciting offense for some, and opposing teams across the board have found a way to curb. And so it's a lot less exciting, but this is the way the Chiefs are going to have to win until they prove, okay, teams are going to have to be respecting the line of scrimmage a bit.
Melvin Ingram is the best trade line acquisition for the Chiefs or just player brought in from the Chiefs since when?
It's tough to even name one. I guess you could say, like, a Pinnell or a Suggs, maybe, but I even think that is just still not even close to an impact of what he's been able to do here. You were, honestly, I mean, I wrote this in my rapid reaction, you were looking at a loss in this game, had Ingram not made that play, and you were looking at potentially being the fourth seed, and I saw you going back and forth with someone on Twitter, but yeah. You want to be as high a seed as possible, because if let's say it does go scratch tomorrow and the Titans are the number one seed, the Titans end up getting knocked off and the Chiefs are still in it, they could regain home field advantage, and the more games you can play at home, the better that you are. And so this was a key game because it not only puts the pressure on the Titans for tomorrow, but gives you at least a home game. And who knows if you can get more home games if the Titans were to be upset, you know, past the divisional round. And so, and it gives you two home games if you're able to win. So I think it's just such a big move by Brett Veach. And I know we go back to the money. You just sort of wish he was around from the beginning and they kept Jones in the inside at the beginning, because if you just had this one more win, you'd have the bye week wrapped up today.
It was a move I wish the Chiefs would have made, but on June 24th, he signs with Steelers. Wish it was here, but, you know, better late than never, him coming to Kansas City. He brings that Terrell Suggs, I think, influence off the field and more production on the field. So I see the whole Terrell Suggs thing with him, that the players respect him. You know, they see what he's doing in the pass rushing moves. It's a lot like off the field. So he's had the off the field, but he's a better on the field performer for the Kansas City Chiefs is Melvin. He's made such a difference from this team where they can do Jones, like you said, inside and outside, even though he is getting some snaps on the outside as well. But he's been big. But, yeah, I was going back and forth with somebody, Pete, because some people didn't care where the Chiefs were seated because looking at the AFC, and, yeah, there's going to be good teams. But, you know, there's a possibility they play the Colts at home. Yeah, the Chargers could be there. And I do think the Chiefs will play on Monday night next week. I think they're going to get that draw for that game. That's been my feeling that the Chiefs will have that game. But the bottom line is, you know, play at Arrowhead. I mean, let's remind people, last five games at Arrowhead, they're giving up less than 10 points a game. 8.8, it's a 12th man. And I know NFL teams win on the road this year. Like last year, they won more games on the road than they did at home. But again, different deal going on the road last year. There was no fans in a lot of places or 20% capacity. I think playing a home game, having that crowd, does make a difference. You can sleep in your bed all week. You don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to travel. I think it makes a big difference being able to play at Arrowhead.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of keeping the seeding. I mean, you get past the wild card, you get another home game, guaranteed. And then if the Titans in that scenario were to be upset, which you never know what can happen in the NFL, then all of a sudden you win your game, you're back, and the road is going through Arrowhead Stadium again. We saw that in 2019, a little bit different then because the two seeds got the bye week and there were only six teams. But that happened, and the one seed was upset, and it rode through Arrowhead again. That's why we've seen so many AFC title games at Arrowhead Stadium. And so, yeah, they put themselves in a great position. It was not pretty. I would have liked to have seen the Chiefs play a little bit better today. But regardless of how they got there, they're in a good position now. And I think look no further than Chiefs-Broncos when you see what happens in division games. This is a division game tomorrow for the Tennessee Titans, not just any other team in the conference. It's not an interconference game where they're playing the NFC. This is a team that's going to want to spoil them from getting a week off next week.
Chiefs did run for 135 yards, excuse me. It's not like Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, because they rely on Josh Allen for a lot of the runs. Well, the Chiefs relied on Patrick Mahomes and his 54 yards rushing, something you don't want to count on through the future. So Darrell Williams does get over the 1,000 yards of combined receiving and rushing. Congratulations to him. But has the hurt toe there, doesn't come out for the second half. And then there was Jerick McKinnon bringing a nice little spark to this offense.
Yeah, McKinnon looks good. Pretty big surprise. I think that was the biggest surprise of today, of him coming off of IR and just having such a understanding of the playbook, not really having the reps all year where you have to sit on the sidelines. It's tough to really, I think, have an understanding that way, and he seemed to seamlessly pick it up. And these two guys who, you know, you don't expect in a big game to have to step up for you in Hardman and McKinnon, while Kelce is kind of neutralized by the defense and Hill is hurting, I just thought it was so big. And another credit to Brett Veach for going in and getting McKinnon onto this roster, and he ended up being an asset in this game. Same thing with drafting Bolton, with the second pick, and of course trading for Melvin Ingram. Those were the impact players. Were all Brett Veach guys.
You know what? I consider this the second Brett Veach game. The first one was the Steelers game when they had three of the four top receivers undrafted, top two running backs undrafted, top two tacklers undrafted. I considered that the Veach game. I give the game ball to Brett Veach in this one as well. It made the difference with Melvin Ingram at the trade deadline and also Nick Bolton, who he picked in the second round, where people said he couldn't draft in the second round. That made the Chiefs difference between a win and a loss and possibly the 2 seed, the 1 seed, or even the 4 seed because of those selections. I'll give him in the front office the game ball for today.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you're getting these picks that have been playing like they're veterans, which is so hard to do, having these day one contributors, and to have your rookie linebacker be the leading tackler on this team when he's not even a starter, I think is just a credit to what they were able to do on that second day of the draft. And same thing, also getting Creed Humphrey in that round and just having these guys on board. I mean, the Steelers were throwing this guy away. It seems ridiculous now that they threw away Melvin Ingram. And he has had such an impact here, both, I think, inside the locker room and obviously on the field.
Looks like they might get Clyde back next week, Pete. I don't know what you think about that. And they may need him to come back because of Darrell Williams on the toe. We're not sure. What do you think makes up the best combination of 1-2 going forward for the Chiefs in the playoffs? Would that be Clyde Darrell or Clyde Jerick or Derek Gore and Darrell? What do you think the best 1-2 punch for the Chiefs? If they're all healthy and you had to select the 1-2 combination, who would they be?
You know what, Jay, and I hope you don't consider this a cop-out, but let's do what the New England Patriots do in Kansas City. Who cares where they were drafted? Who cares when they were signed? Who cares what the name is on the back of their jersey?
That's fair.
Whether it's in Bolden or what they do in New England with the other kid, Harris. And whoever it is, and whoever's playing the best, just keep them on the field.
That's what Bill Belichick does. That's what Josh McDaniels does. He just keeps them on the field. He doesn't care what their name is or when they were picked or whatever like that. If Derek Gore happens to be running for 10, 15 yards, let him get the next series. If that's Darrell Williams, let him get the next series. It doesn't matter to me when these guys were drafted anymore. I understand Clyde's in the first round and you want him to be him in an ideal situation, but look, this is the playoffs, right? So if Jerick McKinnon is running like he was today on that touchdown, having that ridiculous play, he deserves to have the next series where you're dinking and dunking and maybe have another runner. But let's go with the hot hand. I don't really care who's running the football, whoever looks best. There's been different times all year where all these guys have looked like they belong on the field. So if they're playing well, keep them on the field.
I like that, Pete. That's my amnesia theory. I've talked about it up in St. Joe in the 100-degree temperature. We're watching these guys. I said, you know, I want the coach. It's just like you've had amnesia. You come out and you don't give a rat's ass where somebody was drafted, how much money they make, or what their contract terms are, and you just play the players you want to play that give you the best chance to win. That's a beautiful thing, Pete.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing it throughout the league quite a bit. I mean, we talked about it a lot before on our shows, Jay, but, you know, there's only a couple teams that have these backs that are out there for, you know, 90% of the time, like the Vikings and the Saints. Everyone else is kind of going with these 1-2 punches, and I think ideally the Chiefs want it to be Clyde and Darrell when everybody is healthy, but it's just, you know, that different running backs will get hurt sometimes. We don't know what Darrell's situation is. If it's a turf toe situation, he may not be available next week. I don't care if it's Derek Gore and he's taking snaps over Clyde. This is the NFL playoffs. If Derek Gore looks better, he should be out there on the field.
100% with you. That's Pete Sweeney. He's the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. Catch him on Tuesday, 8 o'clock with the playoff match. Talk about that with the Fesco in the morning. He's with CDOT. 3 o'clock on the drive on Wednesday, and Pete and I will be doing Arrowhead Pride Radio at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. You ask for more Pete, you get more Pete. Pete, thanks a lot, man.
Bye.
All right, there you go, Pete Sweeney. At the charming farewell he gives me every single week. But you know what time it is.
It's time for Touchdown Kansas City.
They zone block it to the right, cut back left, run. It goes to Edwards-Helaire, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, CEH with TD1.
A highlight-filled summary of the game with the voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis.
Oh, and Mitch.
Kansas City.
Oh, listen. Mitch had some great calls today. I love the touchdown Kansas City. Synonymous with KC. It's why I want to see the Royals and Chiefs broadcaster do a little switcheroo for one game. I'm talking one game in June, have Mitch Holtis hit home run Kansas City. You know, think about Bobby Witt going in Danans, you know, a former baseball guy drafted by the Brewers, did some Big Ten Network baseball things, a little switcheroo going on. But regardless, Mitch Holtis was on fire today. Touchdown Kansas City, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's totally time. It was the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce getting on the board first. If you had Travis Kelce with the first touchdown of the game.
Kelce, an inline tight end, three-point stance at the right side. They motion Tyreek Hill that same way. Play action fake, Mahomes looks right, turns left, wide open, Kelce's got a touchdown! Kansas City, a crossing pattern against the goal line Bronco defense. And for Kelce, 57 career touchdown receptions, that is second. Tied for second now in Kansas City Chiefs history with Otis Taylor.
The league forced the Chiefs to be more methodical. That's why they averaged 6.8 plays per drive, more than any team in the NFL. They also have the fewest drive in the National Football League. They also average 2.72 points per drive, which is number one in the National Football League. Right on pace with their Super Bowl winning year in 2019. Better than 2020 when they went to Super Bowl. But that was a 17-play, 91-yard drive, taking 7:49 off the clock. Travis Kelce now becomes one of five tight ends in NFL history to catch 700 passes for 9,000 yards in his career. That short list, Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Antonio Gates, Shannon Sharp, Travis Kelce. Now, the one thing that's different is Tony Gonzalez only four 1,000-yard seasons, not consecutive. Jason Witten, four 1,000 yards, not consecutive. Antonio Gates, three. Shannon Sharp, three. Travis Kelce, six straight years of 1,000 yards, which separates him, and in my opinion, the greatest tight end of all time. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs We're up 7-0 at this point, and then Lee Summit's own Drew Locke for the Broncos.
Back to throw is Locke. Now he's going to run it inside the 5. Locke, touchdown. Drew Locke, who had a touchdown running the ball against the Chiefs 2 years ago, gets his 4th career rushing touchdown.
You know, and then there was the Zane Anderson. You've heard of him now? That's not something you want to hear, Zane Anderson, because he's plus 14, all right? Plus 14 in my books. He took 7 points off the board for the Chiefs in Cincinnati. Who knows how that game ends up if they don't call him for holding on that touchdown return. And then he prolonged the drive for the Broncos when they were going to punt. So not a good look for Zane Anderson. Regardless, the score 7-7 in the first quarter is a 12-play, 67-yard drive, 5:42 off the clock for the Denver Broncos. But the Denver Broncos weren't done.
Locked back in the shotgun with Gordon in the backfield with him. Takes the snap. She's trying to get some pressure on him. Locke steps up, scrambles. 20-yard line, 15, inside the 10, inside the 5. Locke dives and has his 2nd rushing touchdown of the game. Drew Locke, the Lee's Summit, Missouri native, scrambles up the middle after being pressured on a 23-yard touchdown. The Broncos have the lead at 7:49 to go in the second quarter.
Brandon McManus would have the extra point. Brandon McManus was a situation that came off the COVID list yesterday for the Broncos, but that was an 8-play, 80-yard drive, 5:07 off the clock. Good drive there for the Denver Broncos. 7:49 left in the second quarter. Harrison Butker would add a 34-yard field goal, making the score 14-10 at half. The Chiefs, though, would strike first in the third quarter.
2x2. They're going to throw it. McKinnon's got it, 15-yard line at the 10. Slides off a hit inside the 5. Jerick McKinnon powers into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. The former Viking. And with a Chief touchdown of 14 yards, his first touchdown as a Chief. And the Chiefs regain the lead at 10:43 to go in the third quarter.
And Jerick looked fast, like shot out of a cannon there. I mean, what a great surprise, Jerick McKinnon, coming off that IR last week. 14-yard pass for Patrick Mahomes. 9 plays, 75 yards, taking 4:17 off the clock. 10:43 left in the third quarter. That made the score 17-14, Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, but then the Broncos would come right back.
Gordon will get it up the middle. Now darts left, 45, 40, breaks a tackle in the secondary. Only Hitchens to beat. 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Melvin Gordon. On a 47-yard run, and the Broncos regain the lead at 9:02 to go in the third quarter.
So it wasn't Javonte Williams dropping the axe on the Kansas City Chiefs. It was Melvin Gordon, the third 47-yard run. He's up to like 20 miles an hour on that run there. He's been having a pretty good year, to be honest with you. 5 plays, 75 yards, 1:41 off the clock, 9:02 left in the third quarter. Put the Broncos back on top, 21-17. Chiefs run defense, not there today. 191 yards rushing for the Denver Broncos, making up for the deficiencies in the passing game with Drew Locke. And again, with Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy, they have some, and Noah Fant at tight end, very capable receiving targets. Again, I think Denver's one of these sleeping teams. Put a quarterback and a head coach, this team looks a lot different. In the fourth quarter, Harrison Butker would kick a 51-yard field goal, making the score 21-20. That was a 10-play, 25-yard drive, taking 4:33 off the clock. And Harrison Butker, once again, I mean, this guy's been absolutely fantastic. For the Kansas City Chiefs, another field goal over 50 yards, franchise record 7th. He's now tied with Nick Lowry for 20 overall, is our guy Harrison Butker, that continues to just be good for the Kansas City Chiefs. Then in the fourth quarter, which really was the whole turning point in the game, it was the Tully touchdown of the game, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. It was Melvin Ingram forcing a fumble and Nick Bolton taking it to the house.
Melvin Gordon the third, the running back. Hands on his knees at the right hash. Locke is...
Now the ball's out! The ball is out and picked up by the Chiefs! Taking off is Melvin Ingram! They're chasing Ingram. He's at midfield. No, it's Dorian. It's on Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton at the 20. 10, 5, touchdown. Kansas City on a defensive score. Melvin Ingram knocked the ball out from Melvin Gordon the third. And it was picked up by Nick Bolton, the rookie linebacker.
Results of the play is a
and it will go
by the defense
as a 92-yard fumble return, knocked out by Melvin Ingram from Melvin Gordon, picked up by Nick Bolton. And then he took off and outran everybody. The Chiefs get a defensive score to lead 26-21.
They would get the two-point conversion as well after that play, but that's a totally touchdown of the game. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew, Irish Whiskey. Nick Bolton, the only Chief over 100 tackles. He's had a fantastic year. In that combination, Melvin Ingram forcing the tackle. This is why Brett Veach gets the game ball for the day. Bringing in Melvin Ingram, drafted Nick Bolton in the second round. Oh, by the way, and with Creed Humphrey. So the Kansas City Chiefs at this point take a 28-20 lead, 21 lead, because they go for the two-point conversion. Then it was a Brandon McManus 31-yard field goal be the final score for the Denver Broncos as the Chiefs win the game 28-24. Andy Reid down 36-5 against this division since going back to 2015. Patrick Mahomes down 13-0 against the division since he ever started. He's never lost the division road game as Patrick Mahomes goes to 13-0. 21-3 now, Patrick Mahomes' record against this division. He's been simply amazing for the Kansas City Chiefs, especially in the money time, and that's called winning the game on the road. But for the Kansas City Chiefs, 13 straight now against Denver, the most they've ever had, November 15, 2015 through the present. The number two on the list was Denver, 11 straight from 1964 November through November 27th, 1969. Now in the NFL record books, most victories by versus one opponent since 1970. Chiefs tied for six with Dallas versus Arizona, Chargers versus the Raiders, Kansas City versus Denver. Joe Montana has the record for most victories. Now Miami has the total two with 20 consecutive victories over Buffalo, 1970 through 79. That took several different quarterbacks in that situation. But the Kansas City Chiefs get the victory. Our phone number, 913-576-7610. We'll take your reaction. Plus, we'll head back inside that locker room and hear from Patrick Mahomes next.
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Tune in Mondays at 7:30 for our weekly conversation with Derek Johnson on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Here's Jay Binkley.
Chiefs get the win 28-24. NFL record book, most receiving yards, career tight end. Travis Kelce, number six on the list. Robert Gronkowski, Shannon Sharp, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, and Tony Gonzalez in front of him. Andy Reid with 233 regular season wins, fifth all-time. Postseason regular season, Andy Reid, fifth all-time with 250. Tom Landry, number four in front of him, 270. Bill Belichick, by the way, third all-time with 321. The Kansas City Chiefs continue to just have an amazing season. Most games, 300 or more net yards this season, 15, 2021. Tied for first for the Kansas City Chiefs. Most consecutive seasons with 12-plus wins in the NFL. New England did it eight times in a row, 2010 through 17. Colts did it seven times in a row, 03 through 09. Then the Chiefs tied for third, 2018 through 21. 12-plus wins in each of those years. Time to go back in that locker room, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, Patrick, you guys can still be the number one seed. You need a pretty big upset tomorrow, but still, there's that possibility. What kind of prize would that be if you guys can wind up as that number one seed and get that first round bye?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a, when you get a first round bye, it's more of a win. I mean, because you're going past another round in the playoffs, which are never easy, but it is what it is. We're ready to go wherever, against whoever. I mean, we just go in with the mindset of we're going to have to play each and every week to try to have a chance to get back to that Super Bowl.
Hey, Patrick, two questions. One, can you just describe the emotional swing on the sideline of that Nick Bolton touchdown with Denver going in and then to completely flip it? And then I also was curious, like, what's your plan? Are you going to watch the Texans-Titans game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch all the games. I mean, I'm a fan of football just in general, but obviously I'll have that game on the TV and be checking that one out. But I'll have other games as well because, I mean, we have a couple of opponents that we possibly could be playing. So I'll try to look at a little bit of that to see what they're doing. I mean, because they're big games for them as well. And then that was a big play. I mean, that was a big play by a big-time player and Nick and then Melvin for making a heck of a play to get force that thing loose. And so I said earlier, but that's why we brought Melvin over here, I mean, to make plays like that. And he made a big play for us. Nick picked it up. He almost went down, but he got away to the end zone.
Patrick, stemming from some of the bye talk, I mean, this is still a 12-win season, but I heard your initial interview after the game, and you're just kind of saying we still can play better. How do you marry that in a sense? Like, you know, we are maybe an upset over, you know, from getting a bye week, but look, this isn't the level of football that we feel we can play.
Yeah, I just feel like we haven't had that complete game yet. Offense, defense, special teams. And we have the players. You see week in and week out, you see the defense have a great game. You see the offense have a great game. You see special teams have a great game. And I think when we all come together and have that game or the run of games, we're a team that we can win as much as we want to win. And so we're going into the playoffs, into a tough division, AFC. It's going to be tough games every week that we play, and we're going to have to find a way to play our best football at the right time of the season.
Hey, Patrick, another question on McColl. Obviously, you guys didn't know till late in the preparation that he was going to get that many snaps today. It looked like a lot of that was going to go to Tyreek Hill. What's the adjustment for you first as a quarterback when the receiver changes? And then secondly, I'm sure you can appreciate the adjustment for McColl as well, stepping in that late.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, as far as receiver changes, I mean, no one is Tyreek. I mean, he's a special player that has never been seen in this league. But McColl is pretty close. I mean, he has a lot of the speed. He has a lot of the shiftiness and stuff like that. And, I mean, he comes to work every single day. I mean, I'm sure he's wanted to get more stats and all that different type of stuff. But he's prepared for this moment. And I think you saw that today. As he stepped right in that moment, he knew all the plays that Tyreek had kind of were called for him. He made plays happen when we called his number. So, I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, he's battled through adversity in his career. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's made big plays for us every single year, every single game.
Hey, Patrick, I have two questions for you. The first is, this is now 13 wins on the road against the division. Just what is your thoughts on that accomplishment? And I guess what's the best part of winning division road games? And Brad, I'll have a follow-up.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until they started tweeting it out all the time. We focus a lot on division games. I mean, our first goal is always the AFC West. And in order to win it, you get to win games on the road. And there's a lot of hostile environments, like especially Mile High. It's a great environment for football, and they're loud. They were loud today. We just go in with the mindset of just trying to play a complete game and try to find a way to win the game at the end of the game. And we did that today, and we've done that in my career. And it's always good to see some Chiefs fans out here at all those games.
And secondly, I know you've given praise to Brett for the offseason that you guys previously had, but you only played once in your rookie season. Everybody knows that. But just what are your thoughts on the rookie class in a 17-game season, sort of getting through it the way they have, guys like Trey, Creed, and obviously what Nick did tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he brought in a lot of great players. I mean, the guys that have contributed to this team, battled through a long season, straight out of college, straight out of combine training, all that different type of stuff. And they're going to be a big impact for us in the playoffs. And they've gotten better and better each and every week. They have the right mindset, which is big when you have a young guy like that. They come into work every single day with the thought to get better. To have that maturity at such a young age, it's special.
Yes, Patrick. I'm from Denver. I was just wondering, were you surprised, given the Broncos had no playoff implications, that they played as hard as they did? And then secondly, you know, with all their secondary guys hurt, what did Vic do to compensate? How did he attack you today?
I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I could have told you at the beginning of the week. I mean, that this team, their culture that they have of playing football is they play hard every single snap, no matter what the situation is. And Coach Fangio does a great job of getting those guys ready to go. And I mean, in my career, I mean, he's been one of the toughest guys I've went up against. I mean, he does a lot of great things. That's why you see all his disciples all around the league. I mean, they did a lot of different shells and mixed coverages, brought a couple blitzes here and there. And I mean, that's what he does. He keeps you on your toes. He doesn't stay in one coverage. He does whatever he thinks is best for his team and whoever's out there.
Hey, Patrick, two questions, Brad. I'll follow up after the first one. Do you by any chance recall anything you might have said to Melvin or Nick after that play?
I was pretty excited. I don't know exactly what I said, but I was pretty hyped for Melvin. And then Nick was getting bombarded, so I just kind of said something to him after the game. But I mean, that's a heck of a play by two dudes that it kind of looks similar out there on the field, honestly, if you, as I'm thinking about it. So, but it was a heck of a play by two dudes that really changed the landscape of the game.
Well, then that's the other question too, Patrick. I mean, you guys still hope to be playing your best game in the near future, but how much does this day illustrate how thin the margin of error can be and how much, you know, plays like that can change everything?
Yeah, I mean, in this league, especially in our division, I mean, there's a lot of great football teams. I mean, you look at teams like the Chargers, the Raiders, who are fighting to get in the playoffs, the Colts. I mean, they're teams that can beat anybody. And so for us, we understand that. There's a lot of great football teams in this division. We have to be ready to go if we want to get to where we want to get to. We understand that, but we've been in these games before and we know how to win them. And so I, at the end of the game, if it's close, I think we're going to find a way.
Yeah, and hat tip to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, who entered today's season finale, each surpassing 6,000 yards over the last five seasons. According to Elias Sports, the first pair of teammates in NFL history to each have 6,000 receiving yards in a five-yard span, and they really didn't need him today. It was everybody else stepping up in this offense as far as efficiency. Again, they're the highest scoring team per drive in the NFL, 2.72 points per drive. Last year, they were 274 and made the Super Bowl. The year they won it, 259. So the Chiefs' offense has been the mark of efficiency and, of course, four straight seasons of at least 12 wins. Again, the extra year this year, I understand that helps as far as that's concerning. And also the Chiefs' third down conversions, the first team to convert 50%+ on third down since the 2011 Saints. I mean, it's impressive. They're converting in many times, many downs, and they're converting with guys like Hardman and Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, guys like that. Yes, Kelsey's part of the equation, Tyreek Hill, but they're finding a way to get this job done. And, of course, I think that this year was about rebuilding the offensive line. I think they'll add some receiver depth in the first round next season for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, the last two games, they've given up some points. But if you look at the last 10 games for the Kansas City Chiefs, going back to that Giants game, 16.1 points. 16.9 actually leads the NFL with the Patriots. They've done a full body of work, but the last 10 games, Kansas City Chiefs have been hot in that category. So there you go. You heard from Patrick Mahomes. Go back inside that locker room to hear from a guy like Nick Bolton, a second-round pick from the Kansas City Chiefs, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio. Since 1967, here's Nick Bolton.
Hey, Nick, can you take us through that fumble recovery, just what you saw and what you were thinking as you were headed to the end zone?
Yes, I just come off the edge. Coach Bass called a great blitz. Our D lineman, Mel Ingram, went ahead and got vertical penetration. Got a TFL, cost a fumble. And so from then on, I just scoop and score. And I got some teammates, gave me some great blocks heading into the end zone and just trying to get to the end zone from there.
Two questions real quick, Nick. Just what has it been like to play with Melvin Ingram and to just see his impact on the team this year? And then secondly, how have you tried to handle a 17-game season and what's it been like for you and the rest of the rookies to try to get better as the season's gone along?
Mel, since he came in here, has been a great vet in the room. Coming in every single day trying to get better, trying to improve himself and help our defense become better. And so having a guy like that come in mid-season and bring that, what he brings to the football team, is special. So he keeps going out there making plays, communicating, getting us in the best position as possible as well. So that's a credit off to him for coming in mid-season, be able to do that. And just in terms of 17-game seasons and stuff like that, this uphill battle, just taking week by week, day by day. That's kind of how you got to do it. Kind of talk to fellow rookies, we're kind of doing the same thing and just trying to come in every single day and put the best on the table and let the rest take care of itself.
Hey, Nick, Andy was saying that he thought he was worried you might stumble as you were trying to get some momentum running down there. Can you just, did you have any worry like that? And it looked like you had to pull away from Drew Locke. Did you talk to Drew after the game?
I actually didn't get a chance to speak to Drew. I'm going to hit him up probably after the game. Just talk to him and stuff like that. But probably getting close to the 50-yard line. I had seven studs in for the field, and I ended up slipping a little bit. At that point, I was just trying to get to the end zone. So I was happy to get to the end zone, get a touchdown for our team and help us win.
Hey, Nick, you know, you're leading the team in tackles, over 100 tackles on the season now. Could you, before the season, have dreamed that your rookie campaign was going to be going like this, that you'd have such an impact season for a team that's going to the playoffs in this spot?
Coming in, I just wanted to come in and be the best version of myself every single week. And so that's kind of what my mindset was coming in OTAs, training camp, and then training on to the season. So I'm just trying to do that. I'm going to continue to try to do that for our football team. I feel like it makes us better if I come in every single day and give my best efforts. So I'm going to keep doing that. Let the rest take care of itself. I'm not chasing stats. I was just chasing wins. And so that's kind of the mindset it is, wanting to know every week and just trying to win the championship from here on out.
He's an absolute tackling machine, Nick Bolton. It's going to be the green dot guy, the guy that gets a signal on the Chiefs years to come. I've thought that he'll be up there with the likes of Derek Johnson as far as sure tackling linebackers for this football team. But Nick Bolton certainly shined, and he even brought up Melvin Ingram there. That hit by Melvin Ingram was nasty. Ingram said he plays angry. And again, it's not about him coming in and getting five sacks or seven sacks. Can you do enough to make a difference in a game to give a Chiefs a win? And we saw that evidence today. And that's what when Melvin Ingram came in. Can you make that one or two big hits or a sack, a strip fumble, whatever it is, to influence one or two games? And we've seen this from Melvin Ingram. You go back to the Raiders game in Vegas. You know, he draws that double team. It lets Jaron Reed get single team and get to the quarterback and make a sack. He's making little differences for Kansas City. And for the clown in Pittsburgh to write that article that he's doing the same thing for Kansas City did for Pittsburgh, which wasn't anything, is completely wrong. You're not watching the Kansas City Chiefs and looking at his influence with this defense and what he's doing. It's been remarkable that what Melvin Ingram has brought in. Not only the attitude, again, I'll go back with Terrell Suggs. He came in, players respected him. He brought in that attitude, the work ethic. You know, guys are carrying notepads to meeting rooms or whatever. That's what Melvin Ingram is, but he also has the on-field production for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. It's been fun to watch. And as far as hitting the rookie wall, that was a topic, you know, this week with rookies. They have to get tired this time of year. It's obviously a 17-game NFL season. But in the Chiefs record book, the most starts rookie season goes to Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. They made all 17 starts this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, they have a slew of players like Art Still and Dino Hackett and Kevin Ross and DJ and Tamba and Barry that all started, you know, 16 games. Even Juan Thornhill did his rookie season, 16 games. But, of course, no one's done 17 because they haven't played 17. So it is a remarkable feat for the Kansas City Chiefs and their rookies being able to do this and stepping up and fitting in. I mean, this is stuff the Chiefs kind of modeled things after the Steelers, who are going to have to hit the reset button. But it was a team that drafted players that came in and helped them run away. The same thing with the Patriots. Training wheels were not on. Rookies were expected to come in, help the team. This is a team that's been going places, back-to-back Super Bowls. But these guys have stepped up and done the job for the Chiefs. And every year they have the McAlee Hill winner for their Rookie of the Year. I think it's tough. I mean, Creed Humphrey does lead everybody in the NFL at his position at center. You know, Trey Smith stepped up a big way, and Nick Bolton has stepped up in a big way and helped the Chiefs win football games. So all three of those guys, as far as rookies, making an impact for this football team, 100% they have. They've made a difference. This was a great draft from Brett Veach in a year that was the most difficult draft in NFL history because you did not have a combine. Mecole Hardman had over 100 yards receiving today as well. You have to go back to September of 2018. The last time he had over 100 yards was at the University of Georgia. Did it one time when he was there, but he looked explosive. He made a difference. He played that Tyreek Hill role. I would like to see him do that with Tyreek Hill on the field. Can you imagine? Sometimes they do. I get it, but it's at speed, Legion Zoom. It's what the Chiefs are known for. But Mecole Hardman stepped up in a big way, and he looked extremely fast. I mean, we've seen Mecole Hardman. You've always waited. Can he step up? Will he step up? He stepped up today. Let's go back inside that locker room. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Mecole Hardman.
Chiefs showing deep zone here as Burrow takes the snap.
That is not Mecole Hardman. Here's Mecole Hardman coming up now.
Hey, Mecole. I'm wondering if you could kind of rehash the pregame stuff. I mean, at what point do you feel like, hey, I'm going to play more today? My role is going to be expanded. And then what changes mentally with – obviously, you prepare for those snaps anyways, right? But what prepares you to take on a bigger role at the last minute like that?
Well, first, let's talk about this pregame because nobody told me nothing until, like, kickoff. I'm like – yeah, I said, what? I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, okay, cool. So now I just, like, locked in completely. But it was kind of, you know, we practice hard, so it's ready – I'm ready for those kind of situations whenever they present themselves. And I didn't know what your second question was. I was kind of locked in on the first question.
Well, I also just wanted to know what sort of prepared you. I mean, you said that you locked in mentally, but is there kind of a switch that flips when you learn, hey, my workload's going to be bigger today?
Oh yeah, definitely got to flip that switch. But even when your workload isn't that high, you know, you still want to be locked in mentally, and you know, whenever you get the chance to catch the ball or opportunity presents itself, you want to be ready. So, but in those kind of situations, it's kind of like a little different. So you definitely got to have an extra boost, you know, knowing that you're going to be targeted a little bit more. The team going to need you a little bit more. So it's definitely a little bit more pressure on you going into the game. But I was ready for the challenge, and came out with a good win today.
Hey, McColl, what was it about today's game, other than just Tyreek didn't play a whole lot, that allowed you to have a big day? Was there something about today's game that allowed for that?
Well, Tyreek didn't play, you know. So when a superstar like that is on the field, you know, somebody got to step up and take those snaps and take those targets and make the best out of it. And that's what I did when I got in the game and you know, played as much as I did. I just wanted to take advantage of the opportunity and make the most of it.
Hey, McColl, quickly, you know, we talked earlier in the year about your growth. How do you think that you feel now going into the postseason with your play going into your fourth season after this year?
I think I've matured as a player over the last 3 years. I think I didn't grew as a player just overall, far as intermediate short game, whether it be screens, you know, shallows across the field. My deep game always been there. You know, so I think I just becoming a better player overall, you know, catching the ball better, seeing the field better, seeing coverages better, being on the same page as the quarterback. So just all over these years, I just been trying to get better in every category and just all around been a better player. So going into the fourth season, you know, of course we still got to finish this season, but just want to keep continuing on those basic things and those basic fundamentals as a receiver.
McColl, your first game with over 100 yards receiving, just what does that mean to you and all the hard work you've put in to finally get that notch on your belt?
Like, damn, finally, man, I finally got 100, you know? Damn, like – excuse my language, but yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen 100 yards. I think it's back to South Carolina and Georgia last time I seen 100 yards. So it's a great achievement. It's something to definitely be proud about, especially that you got the win. So hopefully I can get some more of those. But just know I'm happy about those, about that 100 right there.
Hey, McColl, congratulations on getting 100 yards. You, as a follow-up to Sam's earlier question about you finding out, you know, just before kickoff that you were going to take on an expanded role, how much was Tyreek Hill in your ear and offering you encouragement throughout the game?
No, Tim was just telling me, like, man, go out there and do what you do. They can't guard you. They can't hold you. So do what you do. Do what you know, what you're capable of doing. So just hearing him say that, that's all I needed to hear. Just go out there and ball, so.
So there you go. There was McColl Hardman after the game. What a game he had stepping up. I mean, just the speed he showed, and you know, he needed to step up. The guys have been stepping up for this football team all season long. Just go back to that Steelers game. Three of the four top receivers undrafted. Two top running backs undrafted. Top leading tacklers undrafted. This was about the addition of trade deadline of Melvin Ingram. It was about Nick Bolton's second round pick. It was about these guys finding a way to get the job done and demoralizing the Broncos. That's right. The orange face paint and orange-clad Denver Broncos fans defeated again because the Raiders and Chargers, you know, fighting for playoff spots. They're not. They haven't made the playoffs since Peyton Manning. So, too bad, so sad for them. Big thanks to Josh Klingler, sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs. Join us. Big thanks to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. And always thanks to Kramer Sansone, producer of the operation. We'll see you guys Monday. Enjoy.